Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guest is Dr. Jeff Prickett. Prior to serving as principal of McHenry High School East Campus, Dr. Prickett served as a middle school principal in both Crystal Lake and Round Lake for 5 years, as well as a principal at the elementary level in Round Lake for 8 years. In addition, Dr. Prickett has experience as an assistant principal, dean of students, and a classroom teacher. Entering his 23rd year in public education, he holds a Bachelor of Arts degree from Judson University, a master's degree from Aurora University, and a doctorate in educational leadership from National Lewis University. He lives in McHenry with his wife and kids. Welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Hey, thank you so much, Dana. So glad to be here. Thanks for asking me on.
Well, we talked a little bit in the pre-chat about the times when you were in the trenches, and you had two different, quite different stories to share. Let's start about your journey to getting your doctorate. So I just finished mine in March of this year, and
congratulations.
I'm going for a doctorate, and mine, just the one I did finish, was in educational leadership as well, but I tried to pursue a doctorate about 20 years ago. So tell me about how your journey to getting your doctorate was, and how come you didn't give up on that?
Yeah, absolutely, Dana. Well, congratulations on finishing yours. It's quite a task. And, you know, I've got many trenches stories to be sure. But the doctoral one was a very interesting, story. And so I remember wanting to start it and being very excited about, you know, getting back into the classroom as a student and pursuing that degree and being the first in my family to ever complete the degree, and hopefully not the last. Hopefully at least one of my kids will want to pursue it as well. But you know what, it was interesting for me. Most universities give you a time frame, and you have to be finished by then. Well, National Lewis's time frame was 8 years. And so we went in as a cohort. There were a group of, I think five of us from the very same district. We all decided that we're ready and we're going to go in this together. Only three of us finished out of the five.
Wow.
I was one of them, luckily. So, and the two of them at the time were high school level. I was middle school at the time, maybe even elementary then still. However, they went in together and they chose their topic together and wrote it together. And so it finished in about 4 years. Well, I took the max. I took 8 years, and it was only because, I mean, you know, listen, life happens, right? I mean, at that time, I think I can't tell you how many times I put that down and said, I am never picking this up again. And literally there would be 6 month chunks of time that would go by where I would just say, I just can't do it. And it always sat there, right? It was like a weight on my shoulder. And my wife would be reminding me why aren't you working on this? Why aren't you working on this? And and some days I just couldn't, I went through at least one job change, I think. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we decided that we were going to foster kids at the time, and eventually became an adoptive family. And we adopted four of those kids that we fostered when the judge severed ties with their parents. They're all four blood siblings. And so, you know, just like I said, life happens, and somehow I found the desire and the determination to finish it. At one point, I remember saying, I might even have to take vacation days or personal days and go sit at the public library. And indeed, I had to do that. Yeah. to get it finished. But I'm so glad that I did. At some point, it becomes, you know, you've spent so much time, not to mention the money, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So much of your time and blood, sweat, and tears, yeah, into this thing that I just decided I have to finish this. I have to set out and finish what I started to do. And I'm so glad I did. I would never do it again, Dana, but I'm so glad I finished it.
Yeah, no, I totally get that story because you feel like, you know, the road is never ending, especially in the approvals process, right? And you have to do all the revisions and you're just like, you want to throw in the towel, but you got so much invested already, right?
Right. So true. So true. The investment, I mean, sometimes makes it worth, you know, rethinking and really digging down deep and figuring out how you're going to pull this out. And so I'm really glad I did. I feel very accomplished because I was able to pull it out.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you did. And that's also led you kind of to be able to work at three different levels, elementary, middle school, and high school, you know, during your career. And you shared with me that you've been in the principalship now for 17 and eight or 18 years,
right?
But it's your fourth year as a high school principal. But one of your other stories was about working at the elementary school level. And how was that an in the trenches story? And how did you help turn that school around?
You know, that's a good question. I have worked at all three levels. I really feel blessed and honored to have worked at all three levels. It didn't work out. You know, I didn't plan that. You know, some people, you know, you look at the progression of somebody's career in education, and usually they start out as a teacher. And then if they're going to move up and do it, you know, go into administration, they do, you know, pretty much what I did. I had a pretty typical course. I went from teacher to dean of students to assistant principal and then to principal, and got to spend, you know, time at all three levels. It's been a while since I've been an elementary school principal, but that was in a very, very diverse and difficult neighborhood. You know, that was my very first principalship. I went from working as an assistant principal at the middle school here where I live, in the town where I live, in McHenry, Illinois, and took that first principalship. Very soon discovered that these kids were facing some real serious issues. You know, some people say, you know, well, high school kids have, you know, just bigger kids and bigger problems. Yeah. But I know some young kids, some very young kids at the time who had some really, really big problems. And some of those revolved around gang relations, around some pretty extreme poverty and not knowing where the next meal was going to come from. And I think, I don't know if I told you this, but there was one little girl who we found had been stealing food from the cafeteria. And, you know, of course the teachers were upset about this and they wanted something to be done about it. And they brought it to me. And it was my very first instance with elementary school discipline. You know, I didn't have an assistant principal at the time. I was the disciplinarian also. And so I looked at the situation and I thought, how in the world am I going to discipline a little, I think she was first or second mm-hmm. grade, you know, so 7, 8 years old. And so I talked with her and I sent her back to class. And by the way, that didn't go over very well with the teacher. You know, mm-hmm. she wanted a little bit more done about it, but I thought, let's see where this goes. And so it happened again. And then it happened again. And so one day I decided I was going to tail her. I was going to just follow her and see if I could just, you know, do some incognito spying on her. And what I discovered was that she was taking food out of the cafeteria in the morning for breakfast. And she would take it up the stairs to another staircase. After the school day had started, she kind of lingered around and she went up the staircase, and lo and behold, her mother was there, waiting on the stairs. This kid and this family did not have food, and she was giving food from the cafeteria to her mom to take back to her little baby sister at home. Oh. I mean, you know, when you see something like that and you realize, you know, and I'm a first year principal and I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to solve this? I mean, this is a huge problem. This is bigger than educators can solve, right? We really spent the next 8 years at that school focusing on one thing, and that was culture. Mm-hmm. We needed to become a family. We needed to determine how to turn this school around and really focus on the needs of kids. And by the way, it was a pretty toxic culture. You know, I came in and that staff was really divided. Mm-hmm. And so learning how to navigate through healing of staff in order to reach the kids and provide them with their needs. Because if teachers are in pain, and because of that, it's a toxic environment, and they don't trust one another, they're really not going to have that, you know, be able to free up that space in their brains and their emotional availability to figure out and do what is best for kids, right? So we spent 8 years focusing on only that one thing, culture. And I kept having to go to my superintendent and said, if there's one thing I know from my limited experience, I just feel that this is what we need to focus on. And I promise you that test scores, because of course that's what everyone's worried about, test scores will rise.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? 8 years later, I'm ready to exit the district and take on another leadership challenge that I was called to. And we were the only school in the district, the only one of the six elementary schools in the district who had met adequate yearly progress in every category. Hmm. And the only thing we did was focus on people. On humans, on the teachers, and on the needs of those kids, on the culture of the building. That's the only thing we did. Everything else fell into place. I knew it would. So that was a challenge, though. I mean, we were up against poverty. We were up against, you know, gang activity. We had a fantastic relationship with the police department, a fantastic relationship with the local community college, where we brought them in to help assist us with teaching adult courses at night. In the school, since it was sitting empty, why would you let a school sit empty at night? Let's bring in some classes. Let's help listen to the adults in the community and see what they need. What do they want? They wanted to learn how to speak English. They wanted to get their GEDs. They wanted to learn technology so they could keep up with their kids. So we gave that to them.
Now that's such a great success story to hear how, you know, you were able to change that culture and, you know, acknowledging that it was also the staff who were feeling hurt, right? And starting with the staff, because it all trickles down from how the staff are feeling. If they feel appreciated, cared for, and like their needs are being met, that is, you know, how they can better serve their students. And, you know, that's what we're thinking about a lot with the pandemic and return to in-person learning and remote learning, that we're still needing to take care of staff and, you know, focus on what they need more than ever now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about you're working on a book. It's been a work in progress for quite a while. Let me know what that title is and also where we can find some excerpts from the book online.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's been so this reminds me of the dissertation, right? So as things go, I started it a few months ago and have not picked it up in a few weeks, but the working title right now is Becoming Principal. It really is exactly what the title says. I mean, it's my story of becoming principal and the extreme gratitude and love that I feel towards that community, the parents of that community, the kids of that community, the teachers in that community, who really helped form who I am as a building leader. They really, if I had not taken the time to be quiet and listen to those people and their needs, I would, you know, we would never have experienced the success that they experienced. It's a story that's very near and dear to my heart. And I've reached out to a lot of the kids that were there at the time who are in their 20s now. I still keep in contact with a number of the teachers there and just ask them to write down some memories for me from that time, that 8 years that I was principal of that building. And the response that I got was just overwhelming. And the stories will be able to be used in that book. And I can't wait to, you know, I can't wait to eventually one day finish it. But I did start publicly writing some pieces. And so that is at my Notes from the Principal on Blogspot. You can find that. I think they changed their name. It's either Blogger or Blogspot. I think it's blogspot.com. But okay. the title of the blog is called Notes from the Principal. So, and you have given me the encouragement, Dana, to get back in there and start writing that, picking that up again. So Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I've had a blog as well, but so I've had a personal blog and also a blog on my professional website, but yeah, I haven't tended to blog very often. Now I'm just doing the show notes, and I guess that's probably, you know, partially a blog because it's a conversation of, you know,
absolutely,
my podcast recordings. But I know how helpful blogs are when you're, you know, thinking about reflecting on either your career, things you've learned, or what you're currently experiencing. And a lot of those times, those blogs do turn into books. So I wish you the best in the process of writing, and hopefully it won't take as long as your doctorate.
Oh, my goodness. No, it better not. I think I'm a little better at that now, at you know, patience and putting on some butt glue and just sitting myself in the seat.
Yeah, you're correct. But yeah, definitely, you know, I'd like to talk to you again when that book is close to being published, or, you know, is out, so we can kind of plug that and put the word out for listeners. You also have a podcast as well that you got started with very recently. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. So that is called the Principal Leadership Lab, and I co-host that with my partner, Adam DeWitt. He is a middle and high school principal up in Oconto, Wisconsin, and we have known each other for 25 years. My very second year of teaching, he was actually on the interview panel, and they selected me, and lo and behold, we taught in the same pod in the building. He was a fifth grade teacher. I taught sixth, and we've just stayed friends for the last 25 years, and he since moved up to Wisconsin, and we always thought, well, you know, what's something that we could do together? Because we always had these conversations, you know, on a Sunday about education and what we were doing, keep catching up with our families, our you know, just education lives, and so we thought about the book route, and that didn't go as planned, but we eventually said, well, we could do a podcast. We don't have to be together, and that would be easy to do together. And so lo and behold, after kicking around some ideas, we stumbled upon the name, the Principal Leadership Lab, and we have been recording. You're a little bit ahead of us. We're only recording, we have episode number 7 or 8 coming out on Monday. We publish episodes every Monday. Really it talks about, you know, the Leadership Lab was very intentional. You know, we wanted to talk to principals. We wanted to talk to other leaders in education who are maybe not principals, maybe they're aspiring principals. And we really wanted to, intentionally focus on that word lab to mean, like, what are you experimenting with? What are you struggling with? What can we work through here? You know, or a struggle that you have had and that you kind of like out of the trenches, right? Yeah. So what's that experiment that you're trying and want to kick around? And hopefully our listeners who are also aspiring leaders will be able to take something away from that. So it's been very exciting. We've got a number of episodes recorded and ready to go. So it's been a passion project for sure, as you probably can attest to.
Yeah, you know, I feel the same way. Like, you know, it takes a little bit of time to actually get it off the ground. And, you know, it's something you ponder for a while. And, you know, like you guys, you know, speaking to leaders that have that story, right? Somebody that can speak it. When listeners listen, they're able to hear, you know, maybe how people, you know, have learned from experiences in the past, right? Or, you know, like you said, the lab, right? Because the whole education is kind of an experiment, right? Especially now with COVID. But, you know, we're all experiencing different things in our setting. So, you know, I think that's a great title to work with as you, you know, talk to those leaders and find out kind of their stories and how their passion can shine through. And I did listen to Dr. Quentin, what was his last name? Quentin Lee. Can't Touch It, a video.
Yes, what a fun episode that is. You know, we feel like we put him on the map with the podcast episode, but really it's his Can't Touch This video. I mean, yeah. such a humble guy, and what a fun episode that was. Mm-hmm. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, so I'll link that podcast in the show notes as well. Tell me a little bit about the differences you've experienced in your work, kind of shifting between elementary school to middle school to high school as a leader, and your current experience in the high school role.
Sure, that's great. You know what? I get asked that a lot because because I've led at the elementary, middle, and high school levels. I really find that And I mentioned earlier that some of the, you know, people, some people think like, oh, well, it's just really bigger kids, bigger problems, but it's really not that to me. You know, I find that luckily, you know, in the six different districts that I've worked in, that kids are kids no matter where you go. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what age they are. And the kids are kids no matter where you go. They need the same things in order to thrive. They need the, they need people, they need the human connection. And so the biggest, I think, difference for me is really kind of funny, actually. I think that elementary kids are very much like their teachers. Mm-hmm. And middle school kids mirror their teachers. And high school kids are reflect their teachers. And here's why. Elementary kids, Lord knows they need a lot. And my teachers, I love them dearly, and they needed a lot. You know, I had a hand in every single thing that was going on at the elementary level because I had to. You know, I knew all the kids, I knew the teachers well. It was even though it was a school of 750, about the size of my high school right now, it was so different because I could meet with all of them as a first grade team, for example. If I want to meet with, for example, teachers from the math department here, that's huge. Yeah. You know, that's AP honors. What type of math are you talking about? All math teachers. It's very different at the high school level in order to, you know, touch base with people than it was at the elementary level. Middle school kids are crazy, and I love them. They're so crazy good. And I'm not going to say middle school teachers are crazy. even though you know who you are if you're listening to this.
Yeah, it takes a certain person to want to.
Yep, and you know I love you, but it takes a special person to work in a middle school. And I loved it. I worked there, you know, for 5 years as a principal, 2 years as AP and dean, and I taught middle school too. So I love the middle school level. And then high school kids are very much like the teachers. You know, I see a lot of the kids, you know, coming in and leaving. And, you know, coming in at the time that they have to start, leaving with the time they have to finish. And a high school teacher, just by demand, you know, you're unless you coach a sport or you're involved in activity, you're out the door too. So, and they, you know, but my teachers take their work home and they plan so hard. And, you know, it's just some really interesting differences between the three levels. So,
yeah, that's such an interesting perspective on how the kids mirror their teachers or vice versa.
Yeah,
like, you know, the elementary school kids, like, yeah, you do know a lot more about the kids because they're open books, right?
Absolutely. But,
you know, the high school teachers, how they're kind of like, you know, in their own way. And I've taught a lot of high school and I can kind of attest to that. Like, I taught foreign languages and I was, you know, we were in our own section of the building, kind of separated from the others, right? So,
absolutely.
You know, yeah, so I totally get what you're saying that way.
They're just driven by their content. You know, their content is so, I mean, they have so much to get through. And so they don't know, you know, I know I have a lot of teachers in different wings of the building that don't know the other teachers because they don't need to, right? And so that's good and bad. So anyway.
Yeah, no, I like it when staff get together and, you know, you do a little bit of cross-curricular planning and, you know, learning to know a little bit about another staff's area of expertise. Sure. And what they're doing in their classroom, even if it's totally separated from what you're teaching. But you also talked a little bit about working at the high school level and the fact that when you were in high school, you were one of those students who almost didn't graduate.
Yeah. That's the truth, Dana. I mean, I think that's probably why I never even thought that I would be back in a high school. Never thought. And here I am starting year number four. But you know what? I mean, my wife called me one day. I was in the middle school office at the time. And she said, hey, Jeff, I think your next job just opened up. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she said, well, East Campus principal is resigning. And I thought, well, I don't know the first thing about high school, you know, except that I went there and barely passed, you know. This was in 1988. I remember the graduation ceremony and my counselor on the phone with my mother saying, Snook, that's my mom's name. Uh-huh. I don't know if Jeff's going to make it. She's like, what do you mean? I've got this party planned. You know, I got people coming in from out of state. He's going to make it. And somehow I took a test or turned in some work or something, and I made it by just barely. Yeah. And so I think that's why maybe I never really thought I'd be back in a high school before, yeah. But I love it. And 2 years ago I was able to hand my son his diploma because I was his principal for 2 years. So.
Yeah. It kind of comes full circle there. And, you know, a lot of us have those experiences of, you know, we weren't maybe the best student. Like I was kind of a C student and I had my areas of skill, like foreign language and choir that I really liked back in high school, but you know, I really didn't apply myself. And you know, the fact is, you know, that we end up having doctorates later on, you know, that, yeah. You know, for us, a lot of that time is, you know, spent in graduate school that maybe we didn't appreciate school in K-12, but going to graduate school and wanting to learn more because we're in education, we become those lifelong learners.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So true. So true. Yeah.
So out of everything we discussed today on the podcast, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
You know what? I think that it may be something that I didn't even say outright, you know, but it's really important that people keep an open mind. Mm-hmm. And like me, for example, working at the high school level, that once it was in my brain, I couldn't stop thinking about it. You know, I thought, well, what if? And I think that's important for listeners to remember. If you have it on your mind and you keep saying to yourself, well, what if, then it's worth it to explore that idea. I have teachers sometimes who come in and say, you know what, I have to tell you, I'm kind of looking at this other job. And a lot of times it's administration. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid to say and to tell you that because they don't want to let you down.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want you to know that they're looking for another job. But I encourage them. I say, listen, as much as we're gonna, you know, if something comes to pass, if as much as we're gonna miss you around here, if it's on your heart to do, you don't ever want to say 5-10 years down the road, gosh, I wish I would have looked into that. You know, live with no regrets.
Yeah.
You know, take calculated risks, but live without any regrets. Don't look back and say, I wish I would have done that. Do it. Get out there and do it. And I'm so glad that I finished the doctorate. I'm so glad I pursued the high school level, even though I was scared to death. And most of the kids are bigger than me. So.
Yeah, that's such an important thing to remember, especially when you're a leader of those teachers who are trying to branch out and explore, you know, other roles within education, that you're supporting them and, you know, that wherever they want to go, wherever life might lead them, right. You know, that it's worth exploring opportunities for leadership. Where can listeners find you online? You've already mentioned your blog, but are you on Twitter and do you have a website?
Absolutely. Well, no on the website, but they can find me on most platforms of social media, on Twitter at JD Prickett, P-R-I-C-K-E-T-T. And the same thing with Instagram at JD Prickett. I'm on Facebook as well. A lot of family stuff there, but also a lot of school and education related stuff. And that's just my name, Jeffrey Prickett. So yeah, all three of those, as well as the blog site. So yeah, please. I'd be happy to pursue any conversation with people.
Well, thank you so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
You as well, Dana. Thanks so much. Have a great week.